Good evening. First off, I just want to say thank you to the elders for letting me speak tonight. And I pray that everything I say tonight will be in accordance with God's will, His word, and I hope that we can all gain something from this lesson and grow closer to our God. If you don't know me, I'm Andrew Thetford, Rachel's little brother, and I'd love to get to know you more afterwards. Unlike many, I was blessed to be able to know my great-grandmother. Her name is Vera Byers, and she lived to over 101 years. She was a sweet lady, and she was definitely a blessing to everyone around her, including me. One of the great ways that she blessed me is I remember that every time I talked to her, pretty much every time, she would always talk about the blood of Christ and the blood of Jesus. I remember whenever we would visit their church and sometimes I would say a closing prayer, she would say, "Thank you for mentioning the blood of Jesus. That's so important. There, we would have no hope without it." And this is a very important lesson that I want to try and emphasize tonight. Tonight, I want to look at the scriptures and try and figure out why Jesus' blood is so important to us. In order to understand why his blood is so important, let's first look at why we are in need. If you would, turn with me to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says that the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. So here we have the origin of man, and God gives him life. In chapter 1, verse 27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. And then in verse 31, it says that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. And so what we see here is, again, the origin of man. God gives him life. And it says that he was made in the image of God, the perfect image of God. And it says in verse 31 that whenever God sees everything that he created, including man, it was very good. In fact, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it says, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It shows that God was physically dwelling with man. And this is just something amazing that we can't even think about, thinking about the way that God appears to the Israelites all throughout the Old Testament. We see that God and man are in perfect relationship here. A perfect relationship of goodness and love, dwelling with each other. However, we all know that the story doesn't stop there. In chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, it says, "You may surely eat," this is God speaking to Adam, it says, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat, you will surely die." And so this wasn't God just wanting to destroy Adam. We all know that's not the case. This is God warning Adam. God has no dwelling with sin or with evil. That which is sinful must be cast out because of God's good nature. And so this death that God is talking about here, it's not a physical death. As we see, Adam and Eve don't die after they sin. But this is a death that is much greater. And then, of course, what happens next in the story is in chapter 3, man does sin. And so this is a spiritual death that exists because we have corrupted the perfect image of God. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 21, it says, "By man came death." And then in verse 22, it says, "In Adam all die." And so what we see from this is ever since this moment, man has been dead. But turn back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Luckily for us, the story doesn't stop here. It says that the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. And I just think this is so great because this is right after we see man commit sin against God, corrupting the good and perfect image that God has just created. But what we see here is right after that happens, God still cares. He doesn't forsake man. He doesn't destroy man. In fact, he makes clothing for man. He helps them still. And so this is a quality, this is an attribute about God that we should all be thankful for. And this definitely affects us today. Because God won't ever stop caring. And even though we have chosen death, God still comes up with a plan to save man anyways. In order to understand why Jesus died on the cross, I believe it's key to first understand that there's a connection between blood and life. Turn to Genesis chapter 9, if you would. This is God speaking to Noah. It says in verse 3, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. As I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. And then if you would turn to Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17, this is the Lord speaking. It says in verse 10, if anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn among them eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. And so what we see in these verses is that God has prohibited his people from eating blood. This might seem strange at first, but what this verse says is that life is in the blood. And so God had a special purpose for it, and that is to make atonement for our souls. If you would turn back to Leviticus 9, we can see what this picture would have looked like. In verse 7, it says, Moses said to Aaron, draw near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering and make atonement for yourself and for the people. And bring the offering of the people and make atonement for them as the Lord has commanded. So Aaron drew near to the altar and killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron presented the blood to him. He dipped his finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the altar and poured out the blood at the base of the altar. But the fat and the kidneys and the long robe of the liver from the sin offering he burned on the altar, as the Lord commanded Moses. The flesh and the skin he burned up with fire outside the camp. And so what we see here, and so we see man having to make sacrifices, and the blood is the key component in these sacrifices. And so what we see, and there are countless examples of this, but for the next thousands of years, mankind must shed animal blood on an altar to atone for the death that mankind deserves, and to serve as a reminder of the consequence of sin, that is death. If you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 3 and 4, it says, but in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And so, although these animals that were being sacrificed, although they're able to suffer the punishment in our stead, they were never able to truly take away our sins. The only blood that could truly save mankind is the blood of something or someone perfect. And so, God's special purpose for blood to make atonement for our souls is ultimately fulfilled in the only way possible, giving up his own. Isaiah 53 says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here we're reading Paul's words. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verses 21 and 22. The verse that I quoted a little from earlier says, "For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." But what does this mean for us? As we understand that he made that sacrifice. He sacrificed himself for us so that we can live. But what does that actually mean in our lives? Each first day of the week, we are commanded to meet with other Christians and to remember Jesus' death. That's because it's important. As Christians, not only are we saved by Jesus, but he is also our example. Turn with me to Ephesians, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17. I love the subtitle that I have for this section. It says, "The New Life." So this is the life that we're supposed to have. This is the life that we've gained from Jesus and from Jesus alone. Starting in verse 17, it says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greed, and to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness." And so what this is saying here is to put off the old self and to put on the new self. And that new self is supposed to be created after the likeness of God. And again, this is how we are created, in the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness, the essence of God's being. And look at verse 32. Starting there, it says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." And what is our response supposed to be to that? Look in chapter 5, the next verse. It says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." And so the Bible isn't just a list of God trying to make our lives hard. This isn't just him trying to restrict everything we do. This is God trying to help us. This is God only calling us to the standard that is the perfect image in which we were created at first, to return back to that perfect image that we are supposed to be. And then look in verse 2. This is telling us how we should walk towards others. It says, "Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." And so what we see here is this is supposed to affect our lives. This is important. And Jesus didn't just die to take away our sin, but to renew our lives, to make us good again. And so my great-grandma always explained it to me and talked about the importance of his blood. But I don't think I ever fully grasped the true greatness of what she was actually saying. Whenever she said that his blood is the only reason we have hope, that means that we are nothing without him. And I think this is so easy to forget. It's so easy to forget in our daily lives, to feel like we have accomplishments and we've settled down and we've made a life for ourselves. But we must always remember that without him, without his sacrifice, we are lost and we are in the darkness. Without Jesus' blood, all I am is a corrupt, sinful creature doomed to darkness. And the reality is, that's all of us. Without Jesus' blood, I am still dead in my sins, and there is no hope of anything good. Thank God for his great love and his mercy. Give thanks always. The last verse I want to read is from Micah. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8. It says, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? And so tonight, if you're already a Christian, if you're already a child of God, then let us continue to study his word daily. Let's examine our lives. Let's constantly work to conform to the perfect image of God, our Father. If you're not a Christian, Jesus died a horrible death on that cross for you. His blood was shed so that you might have life. If you need to be baptized, or if you need any assistance for any